I am honored to be here with you. I went to church last night here in town, and when I got in, went to church, I heard that they're having, was I right in hearing this? They're going to have a liver mush festival. A liver mush. I heard that right. Wow. I'm not a marketing genius, but I would consider maybe renaming that. The church is going to be handing out water at the Liver Mush Festival. I was thinking, man, I'd be handing out buckets. My wife is at home. If she's watching this, she's thinking, that sounds pretty good, Liver Mush Festival. Wow. Well, thank you so much for having me here. It's a privilege. It's a blessing to be with you again. For 28 years ago, this very week, 40 brave college students traveled an hour away from their college to go into an inner city where there wasn't anything going on. There was a lot of drug dealing going on, and they started a church right across the street from where the drug dealers were doing their business. As a matter of fact, you couldn't slow your vehicle down going through that intersection without the local pharmaceutical representatives approaching your vehicle to take your order. And it's a very hard work. And the Lord called me to do that. I had served the Lord in that community, witnessing the people for 4 years. And we were leading people of all races to the Lord. And we were burdened to do something because we could see even then, 28 years ago, that the inner city here in America is a very neglected mission field. And I would like to talk with you about that. And I would pray and am hoping that some of you will be burdened to do likewise, to go to the inner city. We complain about, we're burdened about all of the amount of abortions and illiteracy and children born out of wedlock, and the crime, and the murder, and the drugs, and all of the problems that we see here in America, and the financial economic drain that is on our society. But very few people are willing to go right in there where it's needed most. And we were burdened to go right in there where it's needed most. And it is hard. I would probably be considered, in the eyes of the world, the least successful pastor you have coming here. If I told you the amount of people we had in church Sunday morning, you'd probably start crying. It is difficult, and it's been a difficult time for me personally over the past couple of years with the racial strife here in America. We had a drive-by shooting in the store right across the street from our church a year and a half ago. 15, 20 minutes after we finished fellowshipping in the parking lot after the Wednesday night service, someone drove by and shot out their car window and killed a guy right across the street at the store, across the street from our church. We're in a community with predominantly black people and Hispanic people. Right now, with the racial strife, black people want to go to their own church. Very few people go to church, very small percentage of all races. Don't kid yourself. Even here, there is a very small percentage of people going to church. Very small. You would be alarmed. More than half of the people, if just half of the people here in this area, if they were going to church, you would see a really high volume of traffic on Sunday mornings. The church parking lots would be packed. Churches would be packed to capacity. We don't see that. I want you to turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. And I want to preach to you today about what keeps me going. My friends all say, they don't say, oh, Dave Rickard, oh boy, he's a pastor of a great church. They say, Dave Rickard, boy, Dave Rickard, he's been really faithful. He's been really faithful. And I want to preach to you about what keeps me going. And I would really love for some of you to consider coming down and seeing what the Lord has done. I've served the Lord 32 years in that community, 28 years as a pastor, and the Lord is doing great things. We would love to have you come and visit. Jeremiah Matthews right here on the front row, he came two summers ago as a neighborhood Bible time evangelist, and he's a preaching machine. And he was preaching, kids were getting saved. It was a wonderful week. I'd love for you to see that. Jeremiah Matthews, are you a senior now? Next semester. He has a girlfriend now, is that right? All right. How many of you think it's love? Let's vote, we're Baptists. How many of you think it's love? Raise your right hand. All right. I love Jeremiah. I have a good Jeremiah Matthews story, so if you want to hear that, see me after chapel. I'll be glad to tell that to you. We were really thankful for him. You need to go. Brother Kuntz was here a couple weeks ago, Larry Kuntz. You boys need to go a neighborhood Bible time. You need to be a neighborhood Bible time evangelist. I did it for two summers. Jeremiah went. After you go a neighborhood Bible time, then you need to come and spend a summer with me and be a summer intern. And we will take good care of you. Any of you students want to come down on the weekend? You boys, we've got a nice secret hideaway in our fellowship hall for you to stay. We'll take care of you. We'll feed you. We'll take good care of you. You'll get valuable ministry training, and we'll get you involved. And some of you have already been thinking about working in an inner city later on down the road. Yeah, if that's the case, then you need to come. You girls, we have a veteran missionary, Nancy Parkak. She's been with a single lady. She's been with me for 28 years. You'll stay with her. We'll take good care of you. We're going to get you involved. I need a youth pastor. Our youth pastor moved to Florida back in April. We really, really need a youth pastor to come. This is a great opportunity for you. I want to talk with you about that after chapel. I'll be down here. I'll be in the lunch thing at the cafeteria, and I want to talk with you about that. We need a pianist. We need helpers, workers, Sunday school teachers. We will get you involved right away. We'll assume that you're not a crazy person or an axe murderer because you're a student here at this wonderful school, right? Anybody who's crazy, raise your hand. Any axe murderers? Okay, a few crazy people, no axe murderers, that's good. If you admit it, you're on the road to recovery, that's good. We do need help, and I would love to talk with you about that. Jeremiah could tell you about our church. It's an hour and 42 minutes away. You can do it. Come down on Friday night, maybe. If you want to come on Monday nights, we could use a few guys to help us. I have one boy, one 20-year-old guy. He is running this ministry on Monday nights with 20 to 30 teenage boys that come from probably the roughest neighborhood in the entire South. And these guys are rough. They will not come to church, but they come for 2 hours every Monday night, play basketball at a gym right there in our community, and then they sit down in the middle of that time for a 15, 20-minute Bible study. I have more people coming to that than I do to my church. We have a Thursday afternoon food ministry. We have fed over 100,000 people since 2009, and we would love you to come down for that. If one of you guys wants to preach, we'll turn you loose. Be prepared to lead people to the Lord. we feed people. And it's a great ministry. All right, are you ready? Matthew 17. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew 17. I want to preach to you about the transfiguration. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was, what's the word? Transfigured. He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's pray. Father, please help me to preach this simple sermon. I pray, Lord, that you will use it for your honor and glory. Open up all of our hearts, all of our minds, and may we also be changed. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, you saw that. Turn to Luke 9. I want to show you something in Luke 9, a companion passage of Scripture. It was a few years ago I was going through Matthew on Sunday mornings, preaching through Matthew, and I saw that word transfigured. And I thought, you know, I don't know that I've ever studied that. I don't know that I've ever looked that up. And I got interested in that, and I thought, you know, I need to find out more about that particular word. And so I got to looking it up. I looked at the, transfigured, the English word. And then I looked up the Greek word. Please don't fall asleep. When I was a kid, a pastor would mention, say the word Greek, and I would conk out. Please don't fall asleep. And I looked that up. I thought, I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon on that, and maybe if I have, I don't know if I've ever heard a preacher talk about that. Maybe if I had, I was asleep at the wheel. I'd never really given it that much thought myself in my own study and my own preaching. I hadn't really delved into it. So I was surprised that the word metamorphomai in the Greek for transfigured, we got our English word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. You watch a nature video and you'll hear, you know, the scientist will be talking about the butterfly or the caterpillar going through a metamorphosis and becoming a butterfly. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I saw that it wasn't just used in Matthew and then in Mark, transfigured, but it was also used 2 other times in the New Testament. And I thought, this is amazing. I've got to preach about this. Look at Luke 9. There's something else here that I want to show you. Luke 9, verse 28. It says, he went up into a mountain to pray. He took Peter, John, and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Look at verse 32. In the middle of the verse, toward the end of the verse, it says, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. And that's what I believe the Lord wants for us to have as we have our daily worship. We call it daily devotions, a time that we devote to the Lord. I don't have points. I'm just going to show you the passages of Scripture. So go to Romans chapter 12. You'll be surprised that our word transfigured, metamorphosis, is also found here in Romans chapter 12, and it is a passage of Scripture that we need to memorize. If you don't have these two verses memorized, you need to get on it. And what keeps me going is my daily time with the Lord. My daily worship, my daily devotions, getting alone with God and praying. And as I pray and as I read God's word, I can be myself transfigured. A metamorphosis can take place. And I can be changed by the presence and the glory of God. You want to know what's the secret? How has he been faithful for 28 years in the same church, a really hard place, when most pastors are looking to for a career move? They're always looking to get a bigger and better church. This is what keeps me going. This right here. Doing this, having this time every day. Romans 12:1. We're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, right? A living sacrifice. Present your bodies. It's holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. And then the second thing, verse 2, be not conformed to this world. You've heard a sermon on that recently, I think. I was looking through what you've had coming leading up to this day. And then look at what it says there in verse 2 after that. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a command. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transformed, guess what? Transfigured. Metamorphosis. Same word. I was astonished. I didn't know that. All these years preaching, I didn't hear it in Bible college. I've never heard a pastor preach on it. Wow. Transfigured. You know, like the Mount of Transfiguration. And boy, what an exciting story. You know, you've got Moses and Elijah there, and not to mention James and John and Peter, the Lord Jesus himself, the glory cloud, the voice of the Heavenly Father. What's not to like about that story? I want to say like Peter, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's camp out. You know, if I said everything that I would like to say about that, we'd be here till 2 or 3 or 4. That wouldn't be good, right? That'd be going a little overboard. Transformed. This is a command. You be transformed. Here you come to the Lord in worship. You devote yourself to the Lord. You present your body a living sacrifice. You're not conformed to the world. And then something wonderful takes place as you meet with God, as you pray, as you claim these precious promises, as you do what the Lord told Joshua in Joshua 1, you meditate on the word day and night, and you're prosperous, and you'll have good success. As David said in Psalm 1, you delight in the word. You delight in the law of the Lord. And you meditate. And you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, When you spend that time with the Lord, something wonderful takes place. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, your heart, your body, your soul is cleansed and renewed. God's glory comes down. The voice of the Heavenly Father speaks to you. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we've got verse 7. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. You should read the whole chapter later on this afternoon. Promise me? Promise me? Okay. So if the ministration of death, verse 7, if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now hold it right there. So here's Moses. Paul is talking about Moses. And he's talking about the law written on the tablets. And the people couldn't look at the face of Moses because of the glory of Moses' face. Park it right there. Hold your place. Go back to Exodus quickly. How am I doing on time? Do I have a couple more minutes? All right. Exodus 33 is where you're going. Exodus 33 and 34. These are a couple more chapters that I'd like you to read in more detail later on. Maybe before you go to bed tonight. Exodus 33, look at verse 13. This is Moses talking to the Lord. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. That ought to be your prayer as you meet with the Lord on a daily basis for daily devotions. 32 years ago, I had left Eastern Illinois University. I had surrendered to the call of God to preach. I came down to South Carolina. In the first week, several important things happened. My first week in Bible college, I saw my wife for the first time. I went to Anderson, South Carolina to preach for the first time. And I started having daily devotions every single day consistently for the first time. And when you go before the Lord, this is a good prayer. Lord, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And the Lord promised, verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said, if thy presence go not with me, verse 15, carry us not up hence. And then look at verse 18. Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That's another good prayer. Show me thy glory. Well, you need to read that whole story, but look at Exodus 34, verses 1 and 2. So the Lord said to Moses, I want you to hew two tables of stone like unto the first. Verse 2, and he said, and be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me. You know, like you would present your body a living sacrifice. Present thyself there to me. And look at verse 5, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now look at verse 8, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and did what? He worshiped. He worshiped. And then look at the end of the chapter, all the way to the end, and verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And so you read to the end of the chapter there, and you find that the children of Israel, they couldn't take it. When Moses came down, Moses' face was shining so much from being in the presence of the Lord that they said, you've got to wear a veil. And the Apostle Paul, we pick up the conversation now again in 2 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul references this story. By the way, there in Romans 12, 2, don't you think the Apostle Paul, who had read the Gospel of Matthew, don't you think the Apostle Paul knew that he was using the same word, transfigured, from the Mount of Transfiguration story that you and I have been hearing since I was 2 or 3 years old, hearing Bible stories on my mother's lap with the Bible storybook about the Mount of Transfiguration. Don't you think that the Apostle Paul knew he was using the word transfigured? And if he didn't, certainly the Holy Spirit of God knew. And now we're in 2 Corinthians 3, and Paul's talking about that story of Moses, where Moses, the children of Israel, they could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses because of that glory, that Old Testament law, that whole system that is now done away. Then Paul asks this question in verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, notice the words, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. I love that. What we have now is much more glory than Moses meeting with the Lord and his face shining and having to put a veil on. Much more glory, much more glorious, exceeding in glory. Look at verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. We read the rest later today. But look, go down to verse 17. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's your Christian liberty right there. Verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed. We are changed. That's our word. Transformed. Transfigured. Metamorphosis. We can be transfigured. We can be transformed. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what is Paul saying? We look into this glass with an open face. You come before the Lord in worship. You and your Bible, alone in your little prayer closet, like I was this morning. And you look into the mirror of God's Word. You look into a regular mirror, which I hope you did at some point in time this morning, you know. Got to get everything all fixed up. Takes a lot to look like this. And you look into a regular mirror and you see yourself, you see how you look, a reflection. You look into the mirror of God's Word, it's different. You not only see yourself for how you look, but you see the Lord and what He looks like and how He talks and how He acts. And it doesn't just reflect an image. It changes you. It has the power to change you and make you to look like Him. So the more time you spend in this mirror, the more you look like Him, and the less you look like you. And I like that because I don't like Dave Rickard so much. But when I read what the Lord Jesus said and did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how He handled everything perfectly, and how He always said the right thing, and He always did the right thing, that's what I want to look like. That's how I want to talk. That's who I want to be like. And a change starts to take place. I'm transformed. My mind is renewed. I'm transfigured into the same image from glory to glory. Glory added to glory just keeps getting better. I wrote in my little sermon notes this morning, I read that and I wrote, it just keeps getting better, exclamation point. It just keeps getting better. And this can happen for you. And you can keep going. No matter what life throws at you, trials, tribulations, troubles, temptations, difficulties, obstacles, persecutions, sickness, pain. You want to be faithful in a ministry 32 years from now, 28 years from now? You want to graduate from here and go and start pastoring or being a wife, being a mother, working in the church, teaching Sunday school, leading singing, being faithful to God? You want to keep on going? You've got to have this time with the Lord. You've got to be changed on a daily basis. You have to be transformed. You have to be transfigured. That's going to keep you going, like it's kept me going. It's nothing special about being faithful. You get up every day. You spend time alone with the Lord. You pray. You read your Bible with meaning because you're desperate to hear from God. You devote yourself to the Lord during that time of daily devotions. And the Lord will change you. And He will keep you going. Look at 2 Peter 3, or 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're done. 2 Peter chapter 1. What does Peter say about that? Okay, so you see the three times. You got Matthew 17. Four times, Mark 9, transfigured, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, 2 Corinthians 3. Now look at what Peter said about his experience there on that Mount of Transfiguration. This is important. Look at Peter's eyewitness testimony. Are you all with me? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And look at what Peter says. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure than being with the Lord Jesus on the mountain, hearing Him speak, seeing Him, being there with, you know, James and John, being there with Moses and Elijah, the glory cloud coming down, the voice of the Heavenly Father. Yes, Peter said, this is a more sure word of prophecy, that Bible that you're holding right there in your lap. Wow. more sure. And it says, young people, you would do well. You will do well to take heed to this more sure word of prophecy. You will do well to take heed to have that daily time of transfiguration as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. For how long? Until the day dawn. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The Lord Jesus, the second coming, the day star arising in your hearts. Not just later on, but every day. I like what the disciples said, those disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Your heart burning with the presence of God and the glory of God, so that you are transfigured, you're transformed, you are changed on a daily basis. That's what's going to keep you going. That's what's kept me going. May the Lord bless you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?